Last week, we talked about Jesus' suffering and how he foresaw his own suffering by reading the Old Testament. So think about how Christ must have read the scriptures and his response to it, thinking about his life recorded in the Bible. For example, he could have read Genesis 3:15. What about Deuteronomy chapter 18? Moses talks about a prophet like me will be raised by God from among you. What about Isaiah 11, stem of Jesse? Isaiah's servant songs, especially chapter 53, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Now come to Psalm 22. We don't know when exactly, but Jesus was reading Psalm 22 someday, sometime in his life. Can you imagine the horror in his heart and in his mind when he was reading about this detailed description about his own suffering? It is one thing for him to die vicariously for the sinners, but it is another thing to die in such a cruel and painful and shameful way. So this week, because I've started this Wednesday psalm, a teaching, also this is a Palm Sunday, but I wanted to think about Jesus' suffering. But notice this is Psalm of David. It was David who wrote this out of his own experience. This is his prayer and his praise. But by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he was writing this, he was also prophesying something about Christ. And as you know, and as I was trying to read from the portions of the New Testament, the Gospels, these words were literally fulfilled in Christ's life. So this was David's psalm, but also Jesus' own psalm in his lifetime, and it was fulfilled toward the latter days of his own life. But this psalm, Psalm 22, is psalm for us, for people of God in the Old Testament, and people of God for us. So what I want to do today is to see ourselves in this psalm. We could talk about many things from this psalm, but I want us to see our lives reflected in this psalm, Psalm 22. And I am going to simply follow the movement that I've noticed in this psalm. It makes sense. Think about this. This was written for you. And Psalm 22 is your psalm. As a believer of Christ and as an adopted child of God, take this psalm seriously. What are some of the things that they experienced? David, Christ, because of in union with Christ, what should I expect to find, encounter in my own life? Few things. Number one, from time to time, as children of God, as people of God, we expect, you should expect, to feel as though we are forsaken by God. David experienced it. Jesus Christ experienced it, literally. We are not probably going to experience this literally. But I want you to know, as children of God, from time to time, you should expect to feel as though you are forsaken by God. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Second thing to expect, groaning and crying with no answer from God. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. David's experience, and this is Christ's experience, and from time to time, this is my experience, and this is your experience. Feeling abandoned by God in verse 1, why have you forsaken me? Verse 2, but you do not answer. And I believe many of us have experienced this in our lives. We cry out to God, but there is no answer. You do not answer. Verse 2. So as believers, if you take this psalm seriously, You should expect to feel as though you are abandoned by God. You may, from time to time, groaning and crying out to God, but with no answer from God. So, I'm telling you, expect that. Don't expect that you will cry out to God and immediately God will intervene and solve your problem. Third thing that you and I should expect is sleepless night. Verse 2. And by night, but I have no rest. He's groaning and crying out to God by night, but he does not get any rest. That is something that we should be expecting as believers in Christ. Number 4. Reproach and being despised and being mocked. Verse 6. 3:8, but I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me, and they wag their head and they mock me, right? They say these things. David, countless times, this is his own experience. Jesus Christ, that's what he was looking at, hanging on the cross. People, high priests, scribes, passing by, they all wagging their heads and sneering at him, mocking him. So, shouldn't we expect the same thing as Christians? Number 5, what should you expect as believers? We should expect there to be enemies. Not an easy foe, but a strong one. Look at verse 12. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Number 6, feeling of hopelessness. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Once again, who's speaking? Who's talking here? This is a remarkable confession from the slayer of the giant. That fearless, matchless warrior of God with a slingshot. And he killed a giant, probably not exactly at that time. But can you believe this was something that was happening in David's heart? Often, I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint, my heart is like wax melted within me. That great warrior, his heart, I am very much encouraged by this. So from time to time, we expect to feel hopeless. Number 7, the last one to expect. When you fall down, don't expect people to raise you up. But when you fall down, they will kick you. As a lyric says, kick me when I'm down. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them. And this incident is recorded in all four Gospels. And I was wondering, why is that? Why is it important? Because as you know, certain Gospels only talk about certain things, even at the time when Jesus was hanging on the cross. But this dividing Jesus' garment is recorded in all four Gospels. I don't know the exact answer to that. He'll be hanging on the cross, and what do you see? People dividing your own garment. They will come like hyenas and divide your garment. In the movies, you see some people die, and what do? They go and they take their Rolex, they take out the dead man's gold tooth, you know, all that stuff. People will not feel sympathy towards you. And that's what you should expect from the world when you fall down, when you're hanging on the cross, as it were. You are not going to hang on the cross. Some Christians will experience that as martyrdom. But by and large, expect people to take your things away even when you are hanging on the cross. Then expect those things. Don't simply believe that you believe and everything is going to be okay. That is not true. That is not true at all in our experience. But that's what David experienced. That's what Christ literally experienced. And that's what Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, they've been experiencing. As believers, don't expect easy answers. Don't expect feel-good answers. These are the things that we should expect. Apostle Peter, what do you say about this? You know what he would say in 1 Peter? This is what he says. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. So don't be surprised that we are going through this fiery ordeal past few weeks, even up to a month of this virus pandemic, and we are staying home, people losing jobs. Just crazy experience. But do not be surprised and expect those things to happen. And let me spend a few more minutes, brothers and sisters, to give you some of the answers. David's response, Christ's response, and our response, and what to do. From same text, those are the things that you should expect. But is that the only thing? No, that is only half of the story. How did David respond? How should we respond? Number one, pray. Pray to God your questions, fears, and disappointments. Be honest about your emotions and bring them directly to God. You know what David is doing? What psalmists in general, they do? They complain. Many times they come, question God. God, why is this happening? But they never leave the court or the ring. That is, nobody in the psalm becomes an atheist because of their experience. Bring all those questions, disappointments, all those groanings to God directly. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. But do not leave the basketball court. So all the psalmists are staying within the bounds of the covenant, within the bounds of promise of God. They still trust in God at the end. You see. So first response that we should have to those moments that we feel abandoned is to go directly to God and honestly pour out your heart to God. Number two, while you do that, remember God's goodness, past grace, and attributes of God to remind yourself that our God, the triune God, is faithful God. Verse 1 and 2, he cries out and he pours out his heart. But look at verse 3, 4, 5. Let me read it to you. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. You know what I found out from this psalm is this. You hear about matching gifts. When you give donations, sometimes you hear, oh, there's a matching gift. Somebody's going to match your gift. So if I give $100, somebody will match that 100%. So it doubles the amount. I think that's what psalmist is doing. Basically, when they complain to God, they cry out to God. You know what they do? Immediately, they match that negative portion with positive portion. Feeling of disappointments with the words of promise and covenant and goodness and faithfulness of God to remind himself of great God in his mercy. That's how they overcome. Acknowledge that. Honestly, but very importantly, match that. So what happens to them is this. They move forward three steps, but they move back one step. But they match that back step with three or four more steps of hope and promise in God. So they move forward a little bit. They move backward, they move forward. So in the end, even though they recycle this, they go praise, disappointment, praise, disappointment. What you will notice is this believer's heart is moving actually toward God. They do not fall totally, collapse back to where they are. Though it seems like they're complaining, because they are moving a bit forward with the words of promise, in the end, they become victorious. Third thing that you should expect and do is this, verse 6. He again plunges into the deep. Look at verse 6. But I am warm, not a man. See, that's what I'm saying. They start with disappointments. They match that with words of promise and hope of God in him. But he once again lapses back. So do not be afraid and do not feel guilty so much when you think your trust in God lapses a bit. He's doing the same thing. He trusted in God, but immediately in verse 6, he lapses a little bit, but I'm a worm, not a man. Once again, depressed. Once again, feeling hopeless. But verse 9 and 10, again, he's matching and attacking that fear with the words of faith. Number 5, speak your needs in clear terms during this time. Verse 19 and 20. But you, O Lord, be not far off, or you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword. So if you have needs, whatever the needs are, you can bring directly and talk about your needs in clear terms with God. The final thing that I want to say is this. Something happens in David's heart from verse 21 to 22. I will tell of your name, and following verse 22 is praise. We don't know what had happened. Tramp Longman said this, and I quoted this from on our Wednesday psalm class. Listen to this. It sometimes appears that the psalmist changed his negative feelings to positive ones in a brief moment. But this isn't how it happened. The psalms compress time in such a way that what was a long process appears as a sudden insight. Honest emotional struggle stands behind the psalms. So we do not know how long it took for him to move from verse 21 to 22. But I want you to notice the final thing. Whatever happened in his heart, he moves this way. I will tell of your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. Notice how he begins with I. Then, verse 23, he says, you who fear the Lord, praise him, call to worship. So it begins with him. Whatever happened in his heart, it is changed. And he is praising God. And verse 23, he moves on to other people to asking them, telling them to praise God. The finally, verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. So you see the movement here. It begins with him, his heart, his resolution to praise God, and he's telling other people, Jacob, descendants of Jacob, all you who fear the Lord, the immediate covenant family, to praise God. He's telling them to praise God. And finally, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And in one sense, that verse 27 is fulfilled because you and I, 2,000 years later of Christ, we are sitting here doing this Twitter live and worshiping God. So this has been fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled ultimately when Christ returns. So what does that mean for us? Normally, wouldn't you say, when this virus pandemic is over, then I'll be happy. When I am able to finally go outside and do the things that I enjoy, then I will finally praise God. When I go hiking, go to the malls and shopping and hanging out with friends, go to the bars, whatever you do, not bars though, but wherever you go, that's our natural tendency. When this quarantine is over, then I'll be happy and I'll praise God. But I've noticed this from the Psalms, this Psalm. No, no, no. Because of the word of God, promise of God, covenant of God, I will praise God right now. It depends on you. Fathers, it depends on your heart's change. Mothers, if you're a single mom, it depends on your change of your heart. Then there will be a ripple effect. My children are not paying attention right now. You understand what I'm saying? So it starts from me. It starts, and there's a ripple effect to our families, and then to the ends of the earth. My kids, amen?
Amen.
We do not have to wait until the quarantine, whatever stay-home order is lifted. I know this is a very, very painful experience. But I pray that God will put the seed of praise in your heart. Let God change your perspective, and you do not have to wait until things get better. But today is the day that the Lord has made, and I pray that all of us could start praising God today. Let God use that praise to have ripple effect, to go on to our families. Whoever you encounter, put a smiley face, brave face, kind face, because there is hope in you that the world does not know. Let me read what Christ said and I'll be done. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Where? In Jesus. Go into Christ through the word in prayer. There you will find peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen.